Happy Father's Day, everyone. I tell you, this was a real joy to be able to prepare something on fathers, and I couldn't think of a better subject than our Father in Heaven. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, June. We love you guys. Well, another round of applause for our sound team. Well, one afternoon over the last week, I went by a mirror in my house, and I looked into it, which, you know, it always takes some courage to do that. The message came jumping out at me. I wasn't wearing this shirt. I was wearing a different T-shirt. It was actually my green Ferris Church of Christ T-shirt. I love that shirt. All of a sudden, it's gotten a lot more use, you know, since we've gone to some warmer days. The message on that shirt, for those that don't remember, is "I'm a child of the one true King," is what that Ferris shirt says that we have. And it kind of reminded me, you know, Father's Day was on its way, coming up. So, of course, could think of no better preaching subject than God the Father. Amen? What does the Bible say about God being our Father? Can we know God is our Father? And is God everyone's Father? Sometimes we hear that phrase, all God's children, or the children of God. It seems like sometimes we hear that phrase, we get the idea of a context that seems to describe all people everywhere. Is this true? Well, this morning, as it's Father's Day, let's walk through a few scriptures together that describe our Father in Heaven. As we do, let's think about that statement on that T-shirt. Let's ask ourselves, am I a child of the one true King? First, would you turn with me, and if you'd like to turn in your bulletins, this is a feature we've been trying to take advantage of. All the scriptures will be in here, and you've got a little bit of a place for notes. The major scriptures for today are all in here, if you'd care to turn in there. To the ESV I'll be preaching out of. Matthew 6:9 is where we're going to begin this morning. Now, Matthew 6:9 is the very first part of the most famous prayer of all time, what we refer to as the Lord's Prayer. Jesus is setting the example by which his disciples are to pray. And how does he start his prayer? Read with me. "Pray then like this, our Father in Heaven, hallowed be your name." So Jesus is saying, bow to God, call him Father. What a change in the thought process this probably was at the time. To quote Rick Warren, in the thousands of years covered in the Old Testament, God is called Father only 7 times. People just didn't think of God as Father. They thought of him as all other kinds of things, Creator, Almighty One, etc. Then Jesus comes along and said, this is how you're to pray. Call him Father. Jesus uses the expression more than 150 times to refer to God. First point this morning being that yes, we can call God our Father. So in doing so, we're not just using the Trinity name as though to describe God the Father in relation to God the Son, Jesus Christ. We're saying, God, we have our faith in you, not just our faith in some dead deity or some impersonal life force, but we're saying we come to you, a personal God. And what's more, we come to you desiring a special relationship with you. Jesus says, this is how you are to pray. Jesus says, this is how you're to approach the Almighty. And this is what you are to desire God the Father as God your Father. Desire to approach him as his child. Isn't that wonderful? Our second point on this Lord's Day, as well as this Father's Day morning, and that is how we can call Him our Father. What does it mean? By what means can we? Is it people for all religions, or no religion, or just those following Jesus? Well, to see how it all works, let's go to our second scripture for today, John, the first chapter, verses 12 to 13. John writes, "But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." So it's important. We need to understand that the right to refer to God as our Father is not automatically given to everyone because they dwell on the earth or they're a member of the human race. See, if we go back to Genesis, the book of Genesis says, yes, we're all made in the image of God. We've all had His breath of life put into us. But then the Bible also describes a personal father-child relationship that can only come into play in every one of our lives when we have chosen to become part of the family. You might think of this as the single greatest, most important adoption process of all eternity. Galatians 3:26 says, "For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, if we are Christians." Back in Matthew 6, the text we were just in, who is Jesus speaking to? He's speaking to His disciples. He's considering them a part of His own when He says, "Our Father," isn't He? It's interesting. Strong's Concordance translates the Greek word Abba, as Father. Father might be a term that young children could use to address their daddy as they climbed up into his lap for love and protection. And another commentator adds, Abba is also the word that Jewish children used for their parents after the children were fully grown. Abba was a mature yet affectionate way to speak to one's father. So, of course, as they usually do, theologians disagree on whether we can limit Abba to an understanding of Father only from the viewpoint of children. But regardless, don't you find it incredible the way the Maker of the universe, Lord God Almighty, desires to relate to us? Isn't that incredible? He's desiring to be our daddy, to be our dad, to be our heavenly Father. As Rick Warren continues, for many people, the word Father is a negative term. Some people say, "Our Father who art in heaven, if God's like my Father, then no thanks. God, no thanks. Don't want any." You see, some of us may have had the best earthly experiences we could have had with loving, godly fathers who were present in our lives and followed the example of their Abba Father. But that's not the case for others of us, is it? But be assured of one thing, folks. Be assured of one thing. When we're part of the family, God isn't like those absent, negligent, hurtful, earthly fathers. He's always present. He's involved. And He's loving by nature. 1 John 4:8. In fact, God Himself is the standard by which our earthly fathers should consider their relationships with us, or which we earthly fathers should consider our relationships to our own children. But I love the way in which we can relate to our Abba Father at any age. And what a privilege it is to be able to choose a personal relationship with the Father of all fathers, who is Almighty God of the universe. John 3:1-8, "In Christ we are given the right to be His children when we become born of God." Here's that expression, become born again. And the family we are born into is the family of God. I find that incredible. Do you remember crawling into your father's arms? You know, as His children, we have the strongest, most loving, caring, and protecting arms of all eternity to crawl into. We can call out to Abba Father. We can know that He has given us the right to do so. So how can we call God our Father? The answer is not because we've decided one day we're just automatically one of His, but because we've become born into the family. Born into the family. John 1:12-13. And what a family it is. What a family God's family is. And I think it's important to keep this distinction in mind, because too often we forget that our Abba Father, who knows all and sees all and is everywhere, gives us the right we have to think of Him in this way. Remember the religious leaders, John 8:42-44. We move on to our next scripture. The religious leaders at the time of Christ knew that the nation of Israel had been referred to in Deuteronomy as God's chosen people. They knew this. They loved this fact more than anything. But they were blinded to the presence of God incarnate, Jesus, God in the flesh. They thought they had it all figured out on their own. So what does Jesus say? What does Jesus say to these folks? John 8:42-44, follow with me. Jesus says, "If God were your Father, you would love me. For I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but He sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Ouch. Jesus makes clear our third point for the morning. There are some who cannot call God our Father. Not everybody has this right. But before you say, "I've got it, it's the religious. Religion's to blame. It's all the religious people." No. I've said it before from the pulpit. It wasn't the Pharisees striving to be righteous that got them in trouble. It was their self-righteousness. Jesus says you're reaching for God, but you've missed Him completely. You've missed Him completely. It's only through knowing and following the Son, Galatians 4:5-6, that you can know Abba Father. Who cannot call God Father? The one who has never acknowledged Him, of course, but also the one who's convinced they're on the right team but refuses to follow the rules. Romans 8:14-17. Romans 8:14-17. "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." And he goes on, "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him." Now I know what you're thinking. Suffer with Him? Led by the Spirit? What? Yes, to be children of God. To be children of God, we must be led by the Spirit of God. There's a chance there will be some sacrifice here, some suffering. In fact, wasn't there for the begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ? But if we are children of God, that makes us fellow heirs with Jesus, Scripture says, and there is glory that awaits. Unfortunately, tough times, some suffering, but that's okay. Our Father knows best. Remember that old TV show, Father Knows Best? That's going back a few years. Our Father really does know best. He knows a lot better than the guy on TV. One thing we don't want to ever do, one thing we don't ever want to think we want to do is run away from home. Did you ever run away from home? When I was a kid, I had a little yellow carrier case. Turns out it was a little Tupperware thing. This thing was really cool. It would open up and shut, and it had letters of the alphabet all over it. It's probably a collector's item worth about 40 cents today. I probably carried that case around with me like an accessory till I was, oh, I don't know, maybe about 27. No, not that old. But to make a short story long, I thought I had a really good idea to take my little yellow carrier case and fill it up with enough stuff and run away from home when I was, 8 years old. So the plan is this, okay? Here's what you do. You go to the kitchen, you take out a plastic baggie, you make half a tuna sandwich, you put the tuna sandwich in there, you get a little juice box, and you put them in the carrier case. But you need more than that if you're gonna run away from home. You need your radio. You go get your little radio, you put your radio in there, and maybe a couple little notebooks and a crayon or two, and that's all you need. Then you're good. You put them in your little carrier case, you grab your jacket, and you walk out the back door, and there you are. You're outside your house. You get a few steps past the patio, and you're on your own for good. You made it. You don't need those people anymore, do you? You're on your own. You're 8 years old. You're free. Until you fall down and hurt yourself. Until you fall down and hurt your leg, or you need something better to fill yourself up with than half a tuna sandwich. That doesn't go very far. Or a juice box. Or you need someone to take you in the car somewhere. Then our parents are kind of practical, aren't they? My dad passed away from cancer when I was 10 years old, but my favorite memory of him before that time was that he would tuck me into bed at night, every night. That was Dad's job. That was Dad's job. He would tuck me into bed, pray with me, tell me good night. He was really good at his job. Of course, when I got older, I found out Dad had a whole lot of other jobs too. But at that point, I pretty much thought that was his job. You know what? Even with a whole armful of these little yellow carrier cases and an infinite supply of half a tuna sandwiches, I can't imagine how I would have felt when I was 8 years old if I would have made it out of that backyard and not made it back into bed that night so that my daddy could tuck me in. With our Heavenly Father, we don't want to run away from home. And when we get to be older with our Heavenly Father, we don't ever have to worry about leaving home. But we can't just do what we want with ourselves. I think too often we're like little children that think we know better in God's backyard. We think half a tuna sandwich will get us by for eternity. Why is it that instead of calling out, Abba, Father, we're too busy listening to the father of lies? Why is it we're so tempted to leave behind the presence of God in our hearts? If only for a little while, then we'll be back when we fall down and hurt ourselves, or we run out of tuna. Our third point this morning is that there are certainly those who cannot call God our Father because they're listening to another voice. Do we truly know our Lord? Do we truly listen to our Lord? Follow Him? Are we letting the Spirit lead us? Even if He's taking us places, asking us to minister in ways that might be outside our comfort zone. Songwriter Bob Dylan once wrote, "You either got faith or you got unbelief, and there ain't no neutral ground. Of whose accord are we doing what we do? Are we following the will of our Father, or are we just trying to run away from home?" And our final point this morning is that, of course, as there always is, there's fruit involved in what we decide. How can we know God is our Father? And I love what the Bible says on this matter. How can we know? The Bible tells us in 1 John 3:10, it says, "This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother." So if we're always trying to sneak out of God's backyard, it could be because maybe we don't belong there in the first place. Maybe it's not really home for us. "Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother." There's some conditions here, aren't there? There's some conditions here. The adoption process is more than just a little prayer in a closet somewhere. It's more than that. Once we become children of God, once we become Christians, there's some expected behavior that would show we want to live in God's house, that we truly consider Him to be our Father. Don't you love that old expression? You ever hear anybody say, young lady, if you want to continue living in this house, you will abide by my rules, and not, and they involve not being out past 8 o'clock, and so on and so forth? If we want to continue living in the house of God, being children of God, continuous co-heirs with Christ, we're called to a higher standard than we were before. Are we going to sin? Absolutely. Don't ever listen to a preacher that tells you from the pulpit that you don't sin once you're Christian. That's heretical. The difference is, once you're Christian, you're not going to be comfortable or content living a life of habitual, ongoing sin. If we're comfortable in this sin that enslaves us, left without discipline, the Bible says, Hebrews 12:8, then we are illegitimate children. Illegitimate children and not sons. So if we say we believe in Jesus on Sunday mornings, if we say we believe in Jesus for half a day, one day of the week, and the rest of the week we live like scoundrels, backstabbers, and womanizers, we're not really children of God, are we? We're not really doing what is right. We're far from loving our brother. Being a child of the one true King is an honor. It's a privilege. It's life-changing for eternity. It requires a response. To quote one commentary, being a child of God, adopted through faith in Christ Jesus, is the source for our hope. It's the security of our future. And it's the motivation to Ephesians 4:1, walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. If we're in Christ, we have every right to call God our Father. Every right. Because that is who He is. That is how He desires to relate to us. And if our hearts are truly with Him, may our peace, our comfort, our security be in the fact that He does desire that kind of a relationship with us. That's really cool. To hear from God Almighty, that's how He wants to relate to us. It's up to us to pay that forward. Got a little bit of a challenge for you this week. If you have your earthly father with you, if you still have your earthly father with you, or if you're a father and you still have your children with you, will you find them this week? Will you give them a hug? Or will you just give them a call? Give them a call. Just tell them you're thankful that God gave them to you. Would you? Would you do that this week? That's my challenge from the pulpit. I admonish you to have that God-given relationship. Don't take that for granted. Don't take that one for granted. A few weeks back, I joked from the pulpit on Mother's Day. I don't know if you remember this. I said, mothers and fathers are great, but especially I'm thankful for mothers. But this morning, I can't think of anything to be more thankful for than fathers. I talked earlier that everyone has different ideas of fathers based on the father or fathers they witnessed growing up. And sometimes that colors our idea. It colors the truth that God is our Father. I was personally blessed to have a godly earthly father. As I said before, without him I wouldn't be here on more than one level. His name was Jim Rood. He was a man in the Lord. He ministered at a small church in Collamer, Indiana in the 1970s. He faithfully served as an elder afterwards in God's church until the Lord took him home. It's an honor today that I can follow in the footsteps of Jim as he followed Paul the Apostle, as Paul the Apostle followed Christ, as the Bible says. I thank God for loaning Dad to me for a decade. I thank Him for that. But this morning, I'm also thankful not only for our earthly fathers, but for our Father in heaven. Because no matter what kind of experiences we've had with our earthly fathers, and sometimes those aren't the greatest experiences, but no matter what experiences we've had, We can do no better than to recognize that God is our Heavenly Father. And no matter what kind of a backyard we grew up in, our real home is in heaven. Our real home is in heaven. So I have another challenge for you this week. I have two. A second one. Would you stop and in your prayers this week, remember to just call out Abba to your Heavenly Father. He created, sustained, redeemed you. Wants to have a relationship with you for now to eternity. If you're in Christ, you are indeed, like that t-shirt says, a child of the one true King, a child of God, and He loves you to death. Literally. Literally loves you to death. Would you take some time and acknowledge that this week? You don't have to be a super dad to remember that we've got super dad. And would you join me in prayer at this time too? Our Father in heaven, great is your name. There is no God like Jehovah. Lord, you have gone so far to get to us. You've come to our level. You ask that we acknowledge you. You desire a relationship with us. And Lord, in our lives and in this broken world, we know that the truth gets colored by our experiences. And Lord, I just pray that no matter what those experiences have been for us this morning, for every person in this room, no matter how great and edifying or lacking our experiences may have been growing up, or may still be today, Lord, I just pray that we all desire to be your faithful children. I pray, Lord, that we let this adoption process that you've put into motion fill our lives and fill our hearts. I pray, Lord, that you work through us, that other people would want to join the family, that other people would want to see what the family of God is all about through our love, through our loving our brother, loving our neighbor, and that we would be examples by which they would praise your name, praise you as their Heavenly Father too. Lord, you promise to stay close to us. You promise to be Lord of Lords, God of Gods. You promise to be closer to us and more faithful to us than any earthly relationship we've ever known. And I just pray, Lord, this week that we would desire to draw a little closer to you, walk by the Spirit, and be faithful children. It is in Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen. And it's never too late to begin. It's never too late to start that adoption process. If you haven't said, I want to be a child of God, I want to be in Christ, I want to be immersed into Him, if you come forward and you want to be baptized into Jesus and walk faithfully with Him, be co-heirs with Christ, what an amazing calling God has for us. If you'd like to make a public decision, we'd like you to come forward. We're going to stand and sing our invitation hymn. Again, it's one most of us should know. Trust and Obey, hymn 349.